This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome to another episode of the 99 Names of Allah. I'm your host, Bilal Khan, and I'm here with Ammar Shukri, who has gone through an outfit change to match my pants.
No, I didn't, for sure. Alhamdulillah, salat, salam, ala rasulillah, salam alaikum, everybody. Welcome to the 99 Names. So today we are doing Al-Wakil.
Al-Wakil, not the lawyer.
No, I don't know. What do you mean by that? Is that Urdu?
Yeah.
Wakil is a lawyer? Okay. Yeah. So Allah Azza wa Jal, he says, وَقَالُ حَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ. We spoke in another video about Al-Hasib.
Yes.
And how these two are paired together. حَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ. Allah Azza wa Jal is enough for us, and He is the best disposer of affairs.
Okay.
Wakil is similar to tawakkul, because you entrust.
You
rely on who? On al-wakil.
Yes. And that's why in Urdu we call him al-wakil.
Who?
That's why in Urdu a lawyer is a wakil.
Okay. Got it. So al-wakil is the one who you entrust your affairs to.
Okay.
We don't call a lawyer a wakil, but someone who you entrust affairs to, like an agent,
okay,
that person would be a wakil.
Okay.
Because you're entrusting your issues or your affairs to that person. وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ وَكِيلًا. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ وَكِيلًا. Allah is sufficient as a wakil.
Okay.
As someone who disposes of affairs, or someone who affairs are entrusted to. And Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَكِيلٍ. Allah says, and He is a wakil over everything. And so al-wakil is the one who has taken upon himself the care of his creation through his knowledge.
What's lawyer in Arabic?
Muhammi.
Muhammi, okay.
Yeah.
What is that? Like, what does that translate to? Like, what is a hami? Is there another word for it?
So himaya, okay, is to protect.
Okay.
So the lawyer is the one who defends you.
Okay.
The one who protects you.
So in the Arabic context, he's a defender.
Yes.
Okay.
So Allah Azza wa Jal is the one who is the wakil, the one who entrusts, the one who takes care,
mm-hmm,
of his creation. And we spoke about the verse in Ali Imran where Allah Azza wa Jal, He says that the believers, it was said to them, that the people have gathered against you to harm you, and they said, Allah Azza wa Jal is enough for us, and He is the best disposer of our affairs. Also of the meanings of al-wakil is al-qayyim and al-kafil. Al-qayyim is, you're thinking about?
Al-qawi.
No, al-qayyim is the one who maintains.
Okay.
The one who preserves, the one who looks after.
Okay. This is different from al-qawi.
Yes, okay. Completely different. Qayyim, qama. Qama means to stand.
Okay. So the one who...
Ar-rijalu qawwamuna ala nisa.
Okay.
Men are they have this status of qawwama.
The protectors.
The women,
and
protectors, maintainers.
Okay.
Right? The ones who look after. And so, Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyya.
Oh, is that what you thought I was thinking about?
Yes.
Okay.
But you turned out to not be thinking that at all. Ibn al-Qayyim, right? The famous scholar. He's the...
Ammar assumed me to be too scholarly.
No. Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyya, his father was the principal of a school called al-Jawziyya.
Okay.
Okay, so he was the principal. He was the Qayyim. He's the person who looks after. He's the one who's in charge,
okay,
basically, right, of this school. And so he was known as Ibn al-Qayyim, or the principal's son, or the headmaster's son, or the person who's in charge.
So his father's name was not Qayyim. That was what he was.
Yes.
So it might as well be like he's the son of the principal, Ibn principal.
That's exactly it.
Okay.
That's exactly it. Okay, and so Allah Azza wa Jal is al-wakil. Allah is the one who takes after people's arzaq, their provision. Allah Azza wa Jal is the one who is entrusted to take care of everything.
Okay.
And so Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ.
This just makes me wonder, what was Ibn Qayyim's actual name?
Okay, we got to look that up, actually.
He's the son of the principal from this place.
He's so famous that I'm forgetting his actual name.
I just threw Ahmad into a tangent. It's like, hey, he's that guy who's the son of the principal from this city. It's just like, what kind of name is that?
Shamsuddin. That's why I said it's one of those murakkab names. Shamsuddin Abi Abdullah.
What's a murakkab name?
Murakkab means Shamsuddin, Salahuddin.
Okay.
Muhyiddin.
Okay.
Two names together.
Okay.
So Shamsuddin Abi Abdullah Muhammad ibn Abi Bakr al-Zur'i.
Okay.
Al-Dimashqi.
So he's from Damascus.
For sure. Muhammad ibn Abi Bakr.
When did
his name is Muhammad.
Muhammad ibn Abi Bakr. So his father's name was Abu Bakr al-Qayyum. Considering maybe...
Good info. Bilal doesn't understand how boring this is going to be for a person who's watching this.
For those of you who are wondering, well, not wondering, probably not wondering, but one of the ideas is after we're done with the 99 names is to have Ammar do one of the books by Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawzi on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Is it an actual book or is it just a series of books or what is that?
It's this book, Zad al-Ma'ad. It's a famous book called The Provisions to the Hereafter.
Okay.
It's six volumes on the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from different aspects. But yeah, so his name was Shamsuddin.
Come closer to the mic.
Yeah, so his name was Shamsuddin Muhammad ibn Abi Bakr.
Okay. What year was he alive?
Well, he passed away in 656.
650. Oh, so he's like Imam Malik's time.
No,
before that.
No, 656 Hijri.
Oh, that's way later.
Yeah.
Okay.
Medieval. I don't know if that.
So 656. That is 6 centuries after the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
So
7 plus 6 13. Is 14. 15th century.
I don't think he's that late.
Yeah. 15th century.
Prophet passed away 630. Okay. AD. That's 10 Hijri.
Okay.
So then you add 650 years to that. So you're in the 12th, you're in the 11th century or 12 something. So maybe 12.
You got to understand.
1300s.
The death of Rasulullah sallam was around the year 6 something Gregorian.
Just at 630. Yeah.
Okay. Gregorian. So 630.
632.
So this is 600 plus years. So 13th century.
Okay.
Yeah. So okay. During the time, and this is Al Jawzi is where?
Damascus.
Oh, Damascus. So he lived during Abbasid period.
وعند الترمذي من حديث عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم says, famous hadith, he says, if you were to depend on Allah عز وجل, like a bird depends on Allah. Oh, sorry. He says, if you were to depend on Allah as he deserves to be depended on Allah, then he would provide for you like he provides for the birds. They leave out in the morning hungry and they come back full. And so this hadith is a great symbol or metaphor as to what tawakkul actually is. Tawakkul does not mean when you say you entrust your affairs to Allah, does that mean that you sit at home and you don't do anything and you don't work and you don't, and I'm full of tawakkul in Allah. Allah's going to take care of me. That's not how it happens, right?
You got to do your work.
And the example that's given is the bird. It leaves early. So the bird leaves its nest early in the morning and it spends all day searching for food. That's what it does.
Mm.
And every day it's taken care of. And so the example that's given to us is an example of
going out. You got to have hustle.
Hustle, work hard, all of that. But as your body is doing all of these things and your mind, that your heart is always constantly engaging Allah Azza wa Jal. And you know that as you knock on every single door that you're supposed to knock on, that Allah Azza wa Jal is the one who's going to open these doors.
Yeah.
And so that's what tawakkul is. And that is who Al-Wakil is. And when a person remembers this concept of Al-Wakil, they submit their affairs to Allah.
Yeah.
Right? They disclose or they entrust their affairs to Allah Azza wa Jal. And what that creates is after I entrust Allah with my affair, I'm okay with the outcome. Right? Okay. I'm content with what the outcome is because who is the one who declared or decreed that this would be the outcome? Allah Azza wa Jalla, Al-Wakil, Al-Hakim, Al-Alim, Al-Khabir, all of these different things. You know, I was just thinking right now, you know, sometimes we, and I'm sure you've thought of this. Have you ever thought of, for example, man, if I was in control of everything, I would make it so that these poor people would have wealth. I would make it so that nobody would go hungry. I would wake it so that if I could control all of these things. But Allah Azza wa Jal is the one who controls all of these things. Like, we entertain these thoughts and we think sometimes, like, man, if I could, I would change this person's situation, or this person wouldn't have died, or like, I'm overcome with mercy, right?
Yeah.
But we aren't al-Hakim, and we aren't al-Wakil, and we aren't
the wisdom. We don't have the,
So Allah Azza wa Jal, he says, if Allah were to open up the gates of bounty upon everyone, people would transgress. You don't know how things would play out. Maybe they would play out completely differently than what you were expecting. And so I entrust my affairs to Allah. I'm okay. I'm content with the decree.
This brings us back to the whole alternate realities thought.
How many times, right?
But it's like the Khidr scenario, right? He's doing these things and then he's like, well, if I didn't do it, like, you know, he drowns the boy.
Yeah.
Right. And Moses is like, what's going on here?
Yes.
And he rebuilds that wall. And then.
And when we get to the name of Ra'uf, that's what we're going to discuss. Because there's. Ra'uf means the merciful.
Mm-hmm.
And Ar-Rahman or Rahma means mercy.
Yeah.
And Ra'fa means mercy. But what's the difference? There's a mercy. Okay, we're going to get to that when we get to the Ra'uf. So we'll end here with regards to Al-Wakil. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Muhammadu ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.
So takeaways are basically to depend on them and be true to ourselves, in the sense that, are we doing our job of hustling
and then being content with what you get?
Is there a difference between being content and being satisfied?
Being content and being satisfied.
Yes.
What do you mean?
Because I would think there's the idea of content, but then like you're never satisfied. You still want more. You still feel like sometimes from your own side, maybe you could have hustled more, or what came to be is like, well, I wish, like, because okay, what you got fine, you're content with it, but you know, you want to hit that next level.
Okay, what do you mean by content with it? Does that mean, are you saying basically, does contentment go against ambition?
Maybe. Yeah,
is that what you're saying?
That's part of the thought.
Okay, so should I want more? The question then becomes, what is your motive?
Okay,
why do you want more? Right? Do you want more of Allah's bounty? For what reason? And if it goes towards a reason that is praiseworthy, then it becomes fine. It's praiseworthy. And if it goes to a reason that's negative, I want more because I want to crush these people, or I want to keep up with.
But what if you just have that level of competition in yourself, right? I want more because I can do better than the other dude.
Do what better? And for what?
Lifestyle. Just for oneself, maybe.
Okay. So there's nothing wrong with a person wanting more of Allah Azza wa Jalla's bounty.
Yeah.
Right? So Sulaiman alayhi salam, he asked and he says, oh Allah, grant me a dominion the likes of which nobody has ever seen.
Yeah.
So he's talking about dunya dominion.
Yeah.
Right? However, again, the whole point, the crux of it is that the dunya should be in a person's hand and not in their heart.
Okay. So contentment, is it okay? In contentment has to do with the heart.
Contentment has to do with the heart.
But the fact that if something is in your hand, but you want to be able to have more of it in your hand, but not necessarily in your heart, is a different thing.
Yes.
Okay.
And you know what? Wealth can be. Wealth is, you know, the Prophet ﷺ says, "Ni'mal malu salih." How excellent is righteous wealth in the hands of a righteous person?
Okay.
Right, when you know, when you have wealth in the hands of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said it. So when you have wealth, a righteous person will do good by that wealth in a way that nobody else can.
Yeah,
benefiting people, spending it in halal on themselves and in their family and all that type of stuff. It becomes something that's amazing. But wealth, as they say, money is a excellent servant and a horrible master. The problem that we have with this is that for a lot of people, money becomes their master.
Okay.
And it's not their servant. It's beautiful when it's a servant and it's a horrible master.
Gotcha. Cool. Makes sense.
Okay. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.